That's really what this whole last hour, just about now, has been about, standing, maybe not by me, well, standing by me, but standing with each other. And it's all about connecting, and it's all about bringing information together in a readily accessible place, and where the doctors, the medical professionals in this province, are able to get the connection information on how to connect, and in an easy, accessible way, and where patients, where the citizens of Manitoba, are able to find the information that they need to take part in these programs. And that's what I'd like to talk about now a little bit, is about what specific benefits. We've talked quite a bit about the living, you know, a good life. We've talked about how overall physical and mental health can be really improved by being part of these programs. But I'd like to talk about what specifics. And Linda, I'm going to start with you. Active aging in Manitoba is focused on activity, as we said out the beginning, getting people out the door, getting them out doing things, getting them out and doing a lot of physical things. Now, what specific benefits are there to Manitobans by being active as we get older? And how can this program help that happen?
Well, I think if we focus in on some of the benefits of physical activity, just thinking the physical part of it, first of all, is, you know, things like controlling blood pressure, controlling blood sugars, for example. I usually say in a lot of presentations that I do, and I should have said this when Dr. Rutledge was still here, there isn't really a chronic condition out there where a healthcare provider will say, just go home and sit on the couch. They usually are recommending, as he alluded to, you need to get more active. And we know the benefits of physical activity. So, you know, again, we can improve mobility, fall prevention. I'm a certified fall prevention educator, and every chance I get to in a presentation to talk about fall prevention, I do. And I think that's, as Connie said earlier, that cost to the healthcare system when somebody has a fall, and we don't only think about it in the cost, but it also changes their physical well-being, mental well-being, and it may actually change what they're able to do physically. So if we can be preventative, which we feel at Active Aging Manitoba we are, because we're working on keeping people active, getting them active, and it's about getting them active and involved in the appropriate activities. You know, if somebody maybe used to play high-level hockey when they were younger, and now they're 30, 40 years older, and they're going, well, I can't play hockey anymore, but so what can I do? And we provide a lot of those activities for people to do. You know, for example, we have the Manitoba 55 Plus Games are coming up in a month, and that's one of our big programs. And so through that, we feel we're able to reach out to a lot of Manitobans in the province. And again, that activity is actually a big social connection for a lot of people. So we find the benefits of just, that's one example of one of the programs that we offer.
Even if they are not going to participate in the athletics themselves, they're interested in this kind of thing, and they're connecting with other people.
Exactly. And we find a lot of people volunteer at the games and volunteer in other aspects of life because they want to make those connections. So ultimately, I think when we volunteer, we think, oh, I'm doing good because I'm helping this individual, this organization. But not only are you helping the organization or individual, you're getting a huge benefit as well. And whether that's getting more active, but also making more connections in the community.
And Linda, you mentioned earlier the cost to of not being perhaps as active or as healthy as we could be. Is there an overall benefit to society by older adults becoming more active or changing with their activities, but with an idea of getting out the door, whether it's being in the athletic programs themselves or whether it's volunteering or whether it's just being a spectator with other like-minded people? Does this benefit society as a whole?
Oh, most definitely. We see that, you know, people that are connected, which is what we've really been talking about here, have an overall better quality of life, a better attitude, you know, really feel that they're part of the community. We all feel, you know, as individuals, we all want to belong to something, whether that's a team or it's the card group or it's where you go to volunteer once a week or it's that fitness class that you go to or that card game that you take part in, all kinds of things. We need that feeling as humans of connection. And certainly doing a lot of those activities, just overall, the benefit to a community and overall society is huge.
And Connie, that's really what senior communities are all about, isn't it? Is connecting people in ways to help them find other like-minded people whose time they enjoy being with?
Absolutely. The power of talking to somebody else, to connecting with somebody else. I walk into a seniors group and they're doing chair exercise. I'm not sure it's yoga, but... And they're listening to music and they're moving, and my famous words are always, those of you who are sitting down and listening to us right now, if you haven't moved in the last hour, shame on you.
Shame on me.
Right? Well, all of that, because I've got a watch that tells me I've been sitting for too long.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that we have to take care of us. And we have to, my words, move, move, move. Yeah. And what that move looks like is up to you. Twist your ankles. Do ankle exercises if you're sitting. Lift your arms up over your head if you can. All of that is part of that. My own physical health. And I know if I sit too long, it's even harder to stand up.
Yeah. There actually are some guidelines around sitting. So the research says that sitting for more than an hour is like smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So that's why we're encouraged to get up at least once an hour. And you know, that doesn't mean that you've got to go for a 30-minute walk. It means walk around the room, get moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's huge.
I never knew that. And as a reformed ex-smoker from, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago, I'm very disheartened to learn that I'm regressing.
Exactly. Yeah, but just, you know, we always say move more, sit less.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of our tagline as well, and it is important.
Yeah, we're going to take a short station break now. And Connie, I'm going to come back to you right after that, and let's talk about the role of senior resource coordinators.
Definitely.
And what they do and how people can access them.
For sure.
Okay, we're back on the air again. Just to keep track of everything, it's 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. We're going to go for about another 20 minutes or so with the program. And just to continue on with some of the things that we still need to cover before we break until our next show, which will be a month from today. And Connie, I'd like to talk to you now. We've mentioned it several times. Actually, both of you folks have. You as well, Linda. This role, this developing role that you mentioned, there are 11 of these men in Winnipeg, I think, and this is a developing thing that is growing and expanding, but it's the role of senior resource coordinators. Who are they?
Who are they? They're the best kept secret in the city of Winnipeg, the province of Manitoba. I became very aware of them probably about 10, 12 years ago. A couple of them were directly connected to senior centers that I was working with. And a big hi out to Dan and Gwen Sector, to Naomi at St. James, Patty Barubi out Fort Garry, Colleen out in Transcona, and those I've forgotten. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. Their role in the community, they got their eyes and ears and hands on whatever is happening in their community. There's 11 of them in Winnipeg, 220 of them throughout the province. And their role is to be the eyes and ears and know from a wellness point of view how to connect older adults to the wellness services they need. All of them, I believe, know about AIM and Linda's program and how to get involved with Linda. All of them know about Senior Center Without Walls, and if they don't and they're listening to this, get yourself connected, because it's another social connection type of program. They are the distributors of ERIC kits, emergency response information kits. Everybody over the age of 55, if you're on medication or not, should have one on their fridge, because when that episode happens, whatever that episode is, our paramedic teams out there should know if there's a red dot on your door, entry door, to go to the fridge, because all of the information that they need about you who are currently on the floor in crisis, they can get off the fridge. Are they also, and I need to put a plug in for their role in, I'm going to call it transportation. We were at a meeting this morning, both Linda and I, and many of our senior resource coordinators and some senior centers are looking for volunteer drivers to connect an older adult to a program in community. Not that they want to go from Transcona to St. James. Most volunteer drivers don't want to do that because but they will help within a community. So to our older adult listeners out there, if you have a few hours once every 2 weeks or a half day once a month, connect with your senior resource finder because they need your help, and we are community and we are friendly Manitoba, at least we're supposed to be. They're also in their role, some of them, not all of them, are connected to food programs, congregate meal programs that a person can go and get a reasonably priced meal. I think about St. James. They've got a group of volunteers making soup, so I can go and get very good soup at a reasonable cost. Some of them are doing meal programs once, twice a week. It's a congregate setting, but it's open to older adults. Yes, you have to pay, but it's reasonable cost and it's good food. They also are, not all of them, but many of them, do have connections for home maintenance. And I think about, for me, one of my biggest fears is changing a light bulb and falling off a ladder, and then I'm in a problem where I don't want to be. Your senior resource finder may, not all of them, but may have somebody that will assist in that minor home maintenance stuff that you may need. Some of them have access to yard maintenance because there are groups out there, and your senior resource coordinator will have vetted through references and that, will have vetted anybody they will refer the person to. So they're the eyes and ears of the community, and they've been doing this for years, but nobody knew about them.
But where do they come from? Where do you get the skills that you need to take on that absolutely incredible range of skills?
The skills that they have, they're people persons. They love to listen. They love to go on research. I can think of one of them, former, now she's doing some transportation work. She used to be a senior resource coordinator, and she was a go-getter. If you needed something, she'd go find you somebody in your community to do. And a lot of them are doing that. We just have to make sure that we know where to find them. And now I'm going to go to, COVID did a couple of good things for us. One of the good things was the advertisement use of 211. Those of you who, it was only on computer prior to COVID, 211 is a national service, national, across Canada, and I believe it's also in the U.S. of A. So you can pick up your phone, call 211. The operator will ask her, you need to tell, I live in St. James Assiniboia in Winnipeg. I need a contact number for the senior resource finder in St. James. They will have that information.
Really? It's that?
Make sure you have a pen and a paper with you to write down that phone number, because it's one of those things where we need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. And the preparation is, what are you looking for? And when you call 211, you dial it. You can do it on a computer, but many of us don't do that too well. And the last I was talking to the supervisor at 43 seconds response time. Now, just think about phoning other numbers. You get that press 1, press 2, not with 211.
That's incredible. Who set this up? Who organizes? Where is it funded?
Well, in Manitoba, it's our United Way. So, you know, when you need to figure out where you need to give your money, you may want to be giving it to United Way. It's one of their programs. When we did the senior strategy that was launched in February 2023, the provincial government at the time, and I'm hoping our new provincial government will continue the support of, because it's an awesome way for all of us, no matter what age, to find out what we need to find out, because 211 has a database of information that we all keep updated as to what's going on.
So the mechanisms, there are mechanisms, there are
Absolutely.
Programs, there are resources that are there. And in, to get back to the senior resource coordinators, this is, isn't so much, I mean, I'm sure that the training, the background, the information that they need to do their roles, that's all there. But the key determining factor, I'm sure, is the attitude of those
Absolutely.
People.
We all know that. And part of it, as we age, and this gets me into the ageism topic that some of us talk about a lot, senior resource coordinators get it. They get the community service. They get the respectful interaction with older adults. And they do a fantastic job of listening, of trying to understand my needs, your needs. And then they'll go and find the services. And I need to tell you that through our social prescribing endeavor, we are supporting, help train those kinds of things across the province, because that's an important piece of all of this.
Linda, from your organization's point of view and other people that organize activities such as yours or beyond that scope, what role do you see as a benefit of the senior resource coordinators? Are they part of your overall picture as well?
Yes, they are, for sure. So we want to make sure they have the right information. How does somebody contact Active Aging Manitoba, or what programs do we offer in their catchment area? And I often get calls from the senior resource coordinators too. They might be setting up an educational day or an educational, they want to talk. We do things like Active Aging Days, and I've partnered with lots of senior resource coordinators to make that happen in their local community club, wherever they can find some space, because they're trying to keep their, you know, the citizens in their catchment area engaged and maybe get more of people out in their area to attend different programs. So they are very important for our work as well, just to make sure they have the information. And then when somebody does ask them or they talk to somebody about being active, or whatever it is, they're able to supply that information. So, yeah, they're crucial for us.
So
well.
You're feeding information into the,
exactly.
into those folks
yeah.
as well?
Yeah.
And I imagine other organizations are as well. How does this all, where's it all collected? Where does this, where do all these pieces fit together into something coherent that people can actually use?
I'm going to say it goes back to 211.
Okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
And it also goes back to, Linda and I had a meeting earlier today. We nonprofit organizations dealing with older adults have been collaborating, connecting over the last 6-7 years. So we have our own network of senior serving organizations, and we are constantly sharing information about where the need is, who's doing what. So we're not, we're both doing the same thing. Linda has her active aging. I'm the person that gathers and supports groups of older adults, the senior centers. We've got Transportation Option Network, who's doing a lot on volunteer driving programs, transportation across jurisdictions, A&O with their individual support. The ACTS Elder Abuse is another one that's at our table. So, because we connect as organizations, we're feeding and supporting the senior resource coordinators however we best can, so they're on our radar.
Yes, Linda.
So I think just to add to that as well, because we as organizations that work with older adults connect and network all the time, and we keep the senior resource coordinators up to date, so therefore when a listener talks to their family physician about social connecting, or so they heard something about social prescribing, and the link is made to that senior resource coordinator, we're comfortable knowing that our information is in their books or available at their fingertips, or they'll pick up the phone and call one of us. We're really good as organizations as saying, yeah, you know what, you need to talk to Connie about that, or you need to connect with agent, you know, A&O. They've got programs that would be perfect for that person. So we do a lot of that as well, collaborating and making sure that we keep each other up to date. But again, it all is fed into those senior resource coordinators.
Connie?
I want to add on to our newcomers who may be listening, and or maybe the parents are here because they're doing childcare, all of that stuff. We are also connected to immigrant services and supporting at the local community, or we know where to support. Our senior resource coordinators, finders, will know where the support for newcomers is at the community level. Winnipeg is huge. And it's not easy to go from, as I said earlier, Transcona to St. James, but there are programs in St. James. There are supports in Transcona. The senior resource finder will know where they are.
Listening to the two of you over the last nearly hour and a half now, and to Dr. Rutledge as well, it really strikes me that the linchpin, the thing that makes this system work, and all these systems come together, are the volunteer organizations that are part of the society that we live in. If it wasn't for those volunteers, absolutely, you know, giving up their time and their skills and their energy to make the kind of connections that you folks are talking about, none of this would work worth a darn.
Well, and we look at CJNU, to give a plug to CJNU for the volunteers. Well, and it's
exactly
true, because we are as good as we are in Manitoba, I firmly believe it's because of volunteers. And everybody out there, including the isolated older adult, they can help CJNU. They can help their senior resource finders, and it makes life better for all of us.
Yeah.
Linda, anything to add to that?
I think just getting the benefit of volunteering, for example, is huge. We know physically and mentally, right, and it helps, you know, all of our organizations function with volunteers. We couldn't function, a lot of us, without our volunteers. So they are certainly crucial. And isn't it great to have a volunteer who is maybe in your age bracket? You go to, you attend a program or a function, mm-hmm, and you see some volunteers who are, you know, they understand what you're going through. It's great to have volunteers from the older adult community. And when I look at our volunteers that we have for the Manitoba 55 plus games, I would say 80% of them are 55 or over. So it's so important that can, again, the connections made.
To the listeners out there that are grandparents and have grandchildren, younger adults are huge from intergenerational connection. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking to your grandson or your granddaughter or your daughter or your son, volunteering is social connection.
Get off your phone.
Doesn't matter what age you are. Yeah,
that too. To me, we did a lot of talk in the last couple of days at a meeting that Linda and I were at, and we talk about intergenerational connection. That's all part of social prescription.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're right. Get off your phone.
Okay. We're going to take a short break then, and before we wrap up for our last few minutes of the show. So just be back in about 3-4 minutes. Okay, and we're back now, 25 minutes after the hour. And I guess just to wrap, as we wrap everything up, and we've talked a lot about the 211 number, as that is a kind of a central linchpin to find out. But are there other places where people should go for these for this idea of connecting, social connecting? We've talked about volunteering, we've talked about being parts of organizations like the senior communities and the community centers that are around the senior centers. Where do people what do we do? Like, if we're looking for something to get ourselves better connected, are there anything else that we can do? Do we start with 211? Do we start by joining a seniors community center? Do we sign up for an activity? Go ahead, Connie.
I'm going to say it all depends on your comfort zone of reaching out. And I'm going to say our weather, we've got hopefully 6 months of decent weather. Get out, walk, say hi. And you may get, I do that on a regular basis. Smile and say hi. Don't say hi to somebody you're not comfortable saying hi with. But just say hi. And you may get a hi back or you may not. I often get a hi back, and I often get, how are you doing? Now, whether you ask that or not is up to you. To me, and depending upon where you're living, some of us have moved into older adult blocks. They may have activities right there where you live. Join an activity. Go for coffee. I have a lovely friend who I remind her on a daily basis, pick up the phone and phone. Last week she said to me, I haven't talked to Alice in a long time. Now, she doesn't do email, but Alice does. I emailed Alice, phone, and lo and behold, within 24 hours, the two of them were connecting again. It's as simple as that if you want to do it.
So maybe we shouldn't be as shy as sometimes we are.
Absolutely.
Oh, exactly.
Yep. It's risk-taking.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And
yeah.
Part of the reason behind social prescribing, we need a hand. We need a friend. And as we age, we lose our partners. We lose our friends because that's the aging process. So we need to find a way to get connected. It could be, for many people, it's tough. It's tough to take the risk. The other side, don't take the risk. You're impacting your physical health. The research is out there. Mm-hmm. And social isolation, the numbers are staggering in Canada, in Manitoba today, and that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Linda?
Yeah, I just want to add to that, that certainly in future programs, we're going to talk more about some of those numbers and how important it is to stay connected. And, you know, I often think sometimes I'll get a phone call from somebody, and that might be their only conversation they have with somebody that day.
We have lots of other things we can be talking about in the upcoming shows, and I'm looking forward to those. But I'm afraid that's all the time we have today for this fascinating idea of social connections. I want to thank my co-hosts, Connie Newman of the Manitoba Association of Senior Communities and Linda Brown of Active Aging in Manitoba for being part of this new Insights on Social Connections program that will air the last Wednesday of every month at 12 noon. And I'd like to thank our listeners for being with us today and joining us today for Insights on Social Connections. For CJNU, I'm Jim Feeney.